Hello, this is Elder Brandon Hartfield. We're certainly thankful for this opportunity to come and be on the radio broadcast again this week. We certainly desire the prayers of those of you that know the Lord, and by the Lord's help, we certainly pray that we could be used of God to be a blessing. Before we get started today, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Lord, we're just so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, you've been so good to us, so much better than we deserve. And Father, we pray that you would lead and guide us by your Holy Spirit. Aid and help us as only you can, Father. For we know that all we can do is be a messenger of your word. But it takes your Holy Spirit to take the word and take it to the hearts of those that are listening. Bless as only you can. Draw the lost to your Son for an everlasting salvation. And help us that are saved that we can walk close to you. For we ask all this in the precious and holy name of Jesus, for he is worthy. Amen. As we come today, we're going to talk about New Testament giving. Now, I know I won't be able, with the time, even if God leads us to take 2 weeks on this, I don't know if he'll just let us finish it today or take 2 weeks. We're going to let the Spirit of God lead in that. But even in that amount of time, we won't touch on everything. I know we won't. But we're going to give a covering. Now, I have to say this. I believe in giving through your local visible body. Now, I've had a couple of people over the years that called me up and said, I feel burdened to send you an offering. God does send you to do that. I actually sometimes say, well, you know, give it through my home church or give it through, a church that I pastor, a church that I'm working with if you want to support this work, because I believe in going through the church. I just believe in that with all my heart. The church is set up. God receives His glory and honor in and through the church. When I support missionaries, I try, for the most part, I mean, there's occasional times you just come across somebody and it's kind of like an almsgiving that you just give it to them, out of your pocket or something that day when you come across to them. And I know people that do that, and that's fine and well if you feel led of the Lord. But I try for the most part. And again, I do other things occasionally, but for the most part, I try to do most of my giving through the church. That's the way I try to do it. Again, there's times I might have to send an offering through another church or to another church or even sometimes to the individual minister. But for the most part, we try to do it through the church. And I appreciate those that have felt burdened over the years to try and support this, but I've told most people we try to let the local churches and individual churches get behind this radio work and to support that. And we certainly appreciate the churches that do that. But we appreciate you individuals that are trying to help over the years too. And we appreciate that in every way. But when we're talking about New Testament giving, I certainly want you to understand we're not asking anything from you. In fact, if anything, we're trying to teach you how to give through the local church and through the local body. And do things as God has taught them. Now, I know that I'm not going to get on the main subject. We're not going to get on the subject of almsgiving really a lot today. Almsgiving is separate from what we give unto the Lord. There's some people who say, well, I give to this charity and that counts as my tithing or my giving. And I'll say this, New Testament just isn't going by tithing. In fact, tithing is not taught in the New Testament. It's also not taught against in the New Testament either. So I'll try to deal with that a little bit. Again, there's so many subjects you're trying to bring together in this subject, and with less than 30 minutes of time, you know, that gets kind of difficult. But tithing is not taught in the New Testament. Giving as we purpose to give in our heart is taught. But let me say this, while we mention the subject of tithing, Abraham, before the law, gave a tenth of all he had unto the priest of the Most High God, Melchizedek, didn't he? He did. So there's an example before the law of giving. And it was a tenth. During the law, they gave a tenth and even some other offerings on top of that, if you'll go and just dig in deep and study it. But a tenth was taught, no doubt. We live under a better day in our day and time, don't we? We don't live under the law, we live under grace. Should we be more giving to the Lord under grace or less giving? Let me ask you this. Does God give us more liberty today or less? And I'm just telling you personal things that I've talked about with my wife and our giving as a family. And I'm sharing some things with you from studying. And I'm even sharing some personal things with you. Not going to go in the depth of my giving or what percentage. I tell people I still like to go on percentage. But even when I go on a percentage, nothing stops me from going above that when God leads, guides, or directs. I can always give more. But I do have kind of a basic thing that I give unto the Lord that I've purposed unto God. Now, I want to say all that even before we begin reading Scripture. I will tell you, we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 to begin with. And I want to look at the Apostle Paul here. And he asked the question in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He said, "Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless am I to you, for the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this, have we not power to eat and drink?" In other words, are we not human? Do we not need the necessities of life? I'll remind you that the Apostle Paul would even make tents and do other things to provide for his necessities. He was not a lazy man. But he asked them this question. And see, what happened is there were people putting into question whether Paul was even a minister. He helped start this church. He's saying, you know, if I'm not an apostle to somebody else, I surely should be amongst you. And yet they were questioning him. And one of the questions that came up is other preachers were coming in and they were taking up offerings and they were being received greatly by the church at Corinth, and the Apostle Paul, who had never taken an offering from them, was being questioned. And so he begins to deal with this. He says, "Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles?" And notice that other apostles had wives. Even Peter himself had a wife. It's not wrong for a minister to have a wife. In fact, sometimes it's good for them. But if they can lead without one, it's not a requirement. If they have one, it becomes a qualification for them about how his wife is. Is she trustworthy? Does she uphold the doctrines of Christ and things of this nature? It becomes a qualifying factor for that minister if he's married. If he's not married, it's not. But he's asking a question, can we not have a wife like others do? He said, "And as our brethren of the Lord and Cephas, Peter, are I only in Barnabas, have not we the power to forbear working?" Ooh. Is it okay for a minister to not work and just preach? And I'll say this, if he's pastoring like he should, he's got plenty of work to do. And any real pastor knows that. I had a man one time call me up and tell him, he said, "You went to preaching because you wanted the easy life." I said, "Man, I was making more money before preaching." And I said, "Not only that, I ran my own business." And I said, "Let me tell you, it was a lot easier running my own business than being a preacher. If I had a customer I didn't like to deal with, I didn't like to fool with, I would give them phone numbers of four other competitors and say, 'Here you go, find somebody else.'" Can't do that as a pastor. It's a lot different. And I even invited that man that called me up and said that. I said, "Why don't you come spend a week with me?" I said, I'll make you a place to sleep. I said, "I'll take another bed. I'll bring you another bed." At that time, I didn't have kids. And I said, "Listen, I said, you're more than welcome to come and spend a week with me and see what I do. I said, I'll let you study with me. I'll let you pray with me. I'll let you go and visit the sick and the different people. I said, I'll let you spend a week with me if you want to." I said, and then at the end of that, I said, "You can tell me if I'm not working." And real ministers are worth their weight in gold. And anybody that sees the work that they do and knows all that they accomplish knows this very well. And I've been blessed to know some good ministers in my lifetime. Some of them, I was amazed at how much work they were able to get accomplished. Some hard-working people. Have I met some lazy people too? I sure have. They don't last long. Not by true churches, not by the real people of God, because real people of God pay attention and notice what they're doing. He asked the question, can we forbear working? And what he was talking about, can we not have an outside job and just live off preaching the gospel? He said, who goeth to warfare any time at his own charges? May I ask that question to us? We got soldiers on foreign wars today, in foreign battles. My dad even has served in Iraq and Afghanistan. I've got an uncle that served in Vietnam. I had a great-great-uncle going back a while. I've had other family members that served in World War II and even over others in Iraq and Afghanistan. Got others in the military. We got a big military family. Let me ask this. Those boys buy their own uniform or were they issued some? They buy their own bullets for their gun? Did they even buy their own gun? They have to go out and buy their own tank, buy their own 50 caliber, buy their own Humvee? Or did the government provide it for them? Did they have to fly themselves, pay out of their own pocket to get to Iraq or Afghanistan? Or did the government fly them over? Or did they ship them over to Europe back in World War II on ships? Did they have to pay for it or did the people sending them pay for it? Just asking a question there because that's what he's asking here. He said, did they go to war at their own charges? He said, who planteth a vineyard and eateth not the fruit thereof? I've planted some gardens over the years. I ate out of them too. You might give some to somebody else and you might do some other things, but if you're alive and well and able, you're going to eat out of a garden you plant, aren't you? Just common sense. He said, who planteth a vineyard and eateth not the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not the milk of the flock? He said, if you got cows and you know you're a dairy farmer and you got a flock of dairy farmers or dairy cows, I should say, you're not going to drink the milk out of it. Well, they would, wouldn't they? We got a lot of cattle farmers around where I live. I don't know too many that are cattle farmers that really don't eat some of the meat off their own cows. They usually take a cow or half a cow or something during the year, might split it with somebody, but out of their own herd, they're going to put some meat in their freezer. They don't even want to go to the grocery store and buy the meat. They're going to get it fresh. That's how they're going to do it. Natural, isn't it? He said, and these are natural things. We all understand this. And he said, say I these things as a man? Or saith not the law the same also? Notice what he goes back to. People say the law is no good anymore. You might want to study how much the law was used in New Testament books for preaching. To remind us of the mind of God, the mindset of God, and things that we even need to be doing in the New Testament. He's going back to Deuteronomy 25 verse 4 here. And he's asking the question, for it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? He's saying, did God write that in the law because he was focused about oxen? That God just cared about oxen and cared about taking care of the oxen? He said, no, that's not the case. He said, for our sakes, no doubt this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of this hope. Notice that statement, that he would be partaker of this hope. And let me ask this question while we're on there, thinking about an ox or an animal. Used to oxen, you would have them to plow the fields and do different things of that nature. And that's what you'd use them for. Well, if an ox was plowing 40 acres for you, let's use that example. A portion of that 40 acres he would get to eat off of, because you would need to keep the oxen's strength up, wouldn't you? You'd need to make sure he had the strength to go on, the strength to do, and the strength to continue. And so you would feed him accordingly for how hard he worked. What if you use that oxen on 400 acres? You would feed him more, wouldn't you? Why? Because he's doing more work. He's doing more work. And let me say this, it amazes me. I'm just going from personal experience here, from what I saw even before I was a minister. I was at my home church. We go by free will offerings. We do not believe in set salaries for a minister. We do not believe in that, and I'll get more on that here in just a moment of why we believe that. But we go on free will offering. We have a plate for the pastor. We also have it for the church. We also have it for missions, love offerings, different things. We have different plates or boxes that the offering can be put into. Some churches in our work even have an envelope system that you can write one check, and then you can divide that one check up where you want it to go. And the treasurer goes through and puts the appropriate money in the appropriate place. And that's how it's done. Usually there's two people that are over that, so, you know, one's always there to double check the other. But nevertheless, getting off of that, a man came up to me one time because the pastor's offering got to be a certain amount. And he said, I tell you what, preacher's making a lot of money. I said, how much do you make? Now, I was a teenager at the time, and I wasn't trying to be just a smart aleck with that. I was trying to get across the point. And I was even fearful in how I was saying that because it was an older man. I wasn't trying to show disrespect into my elders. I was just shocked by it and immediately responded. I said, well, how much money do you make? He said, well, I do a lot of work and I do this and I have this land. I said, is your job more important than his? And I would have said that to a doctor. I would have said that to a lawyer. For some reason, I don't hear people going around in many churches saying, well, I tell you what, that lawyer over there shouldn't be making all that money he's making. Or that doctor over there shouldn't be having that car and shouldn't be having that big house. I don't hear that going on in churches, do you? But the preacher gets a certain amount, we start complaining. I said, not only that, I said in our work, I said the church doesn't provide insurance for the man. I said out of that offering he has to pay for his family's insurance. I said, so in all actuality, I said, with your job, you might have your insurance covered. I said, about his, he's got to pay for it. So that's not even equal. I said, he pays his own taxes. He's listed as self-employed by the government because of the way that he goes on free will offerings. I said, he pays his own taxes. Is that the way it works at yours? I said, so that offering that you're saying is so big, I said, it's become a lot smaller. I said, not only that, I said, how many miles does he put on his car going and visiting people at the hospitals, going and talking about spiritual things when people need Bible study questions or have questions about the Bible or lost people or needing him to come? And I said, he's on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I said, we expect him to do all that. And at that time, we were going to a decent-sized church. And I said, but we're going to complain about how much he's getting. I said, as long as he's faithful, I said, I don't care if he's getting $1 million in the offering plate. It won't bother me a bit. I said, I could even go beyond that. I said, if he's getting $10 million a year. I said, as long as he's not living his life for himself, but he's being a servant to Christ and a servant to the people of this church. and he's doing the work that God has called him to do, and he's faithful in preaching the gospel, and he's faithful in going and doing, I'm going to trust him to use that in a godly fashion. I said, now if I can see evidence that he's not, I said that would become a different subject. But I'll be honest with you, and I made that statement before I was ever a minister. I said, I do not care how much he receives. Now, if he was going out and buying some 10,000 square foot mansion and just living life up for himself and not taking care of his responsibilities and doing the things that he needs to do, and he wasn't living in modesty and things of this nature and taking what God gives him, and if he's got extra helping those in need and doing things of that, be a different subject. But when I see a man of God being faithful, it doesn't bother me if I see God blessing him. Because in all honesty, I'd rather faithful people of God be more blessed than sinful people of this world. Doesn't bother me a bit. And I don't see too many actual preachers that preach the truth, stand for the truth, live the truth in their life, are living and doing the things that God has taught them to do. I don't see too many of them living in million-dollar mansions. Now, I see some that'll preach false doctrine and go against the Word of God that might be living that way, but you don't see true ministers doing it. True ministers, even if they're receiving a good amount in offering, they might have a decent home. They might have a nice vehicle. But it's no nicer than what anybody else has going to the church. And they're not living above everybody else. We need to make sure that we do things in the right way. But he's saying, listen, and I'll say this again, if a man is faithful, he's worthy of every bit of what he's receiving, isn't he? He said in verse 11, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partaker of this power over you, are not we rather? Others be partaker over you. Anybody listening to me ever paid a lawyer? You ever paid a lawyer bill? We paid that bill, didn't we? You ever go to a restaurant and somebody gives you good service, you have a good waiter, waitress, and they give you good service, do you not leave a good tip? If you go to a mechanic and you need your car fixed and he says, listen, it'll be $500 to fix your car or $1,000 to fix your car, and you think that it's worth the price that you're paying, do you not pay it? And you could go down the list of doctors and your tax man or whatever, your accountant and things of this nature. You could go down a whole lot of lists of things that we go into a store, we find a loaf of bread and we say, well, I want that bread. Is that bread more valuable than the living bread that your pastor preaches to you? He said, if you're willing to do this for the earthly people and you're willing to give money to these things, he said, how is it suddenly a problem when it comes to the work of God? If we've sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Notice the main focus. We don't want to hinder the gospel of Christ. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And he's going back to the Old Testament as far as the Jews are concerned. But the Gentiles, even in their religions, had this too. That the ministers of the temple, even in the false religions, they lived of the things of the temple. They which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. Was it not taught in the Old Testament that if they needed some meat, they were able to take a hook and hook down in there and get a chunk of meat off for their family? That a portion of that offering was able to go to them. He's saying, listen, this was taught in the Old Testament. It's taught even in the false religions that this is understandable. He said, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. He said, God has ordained this. That wasn't the end of that thought, though. But I have used none of these things. Neither have I written these things, that it should be done unto me, for it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. In other words, I'm going to preach the gospel, whether I get an offering or not. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willing, I have a reward. Notice where his focus is. Is it an earthly reward or a heavenly reward? Don't take advantage of that, church members. Don't misuse that. But if against my will a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, if I'm doing it just for money, just for gain for myself and other things, it's a dispensation of the gospel. It's not true, it's not right, and I'm missing the blessing. He said, what is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. This is what we believe as Landmark or Faithway Missionary Baptist. This is the reason that we just set bowls up or boxes up in the front, and the church members are able to come and they're able to give to the building fund. They're able to give to the Sunday school. They're able to give to missions. They're able to give to the church. They're able to give to the pastor. And they choose, led of the Spirit of God, what they choose to support. And a good church member will pay attention in business meeting and know the pastor needs a little bit more, or we're lacking giving in missions, we need to give a little more there. A good church member is paying attention to know where the giving is needed. Dear friends, years ago I went to a church. It was an independent church. And I've got to preach at Southern Baptist churches, independent, BMA. Different churches have allowed me to come over the years, and I'll preach wherever God gives me an opportunity. I'll go and preach. And I'll go ahead and tell you right now, I preach without charge. I got a phone call one time, even from the radio worker. Man said, how much would it take for you to come preach a revival to us? I said, nothing. He said, man, you got to have something. You can't come here. I said, let me tell you what I can do. I said, y'all take up a love offering during the week. And I said, divide it between your pastor and me. And I said, whatever y'all take up, I said, whether it's $5, $20, whether it's $200, $2,000, it doesn't matter. I said, I'll come and preach. And I said, y'all don't even give me the offering till the end of the week. I said, I'll be good. I said, whatever the church feels led to take up, I said, that'll go by. Whether it's little, whether it's much, I said, I'll preach the whole week. I said, but I don't charge for the gospel. I've been asked before, how much does it cost to do a wedding? I said, well, there's qualifications for me to do a wedding. I said, there's certain questions I have to ask to make sure it's something I can be accountable to God with, because God has certain things within His Word that I have to go by. Some people are thinking just homosexuality, but marriage, divorce, and remarrying is also covered in the Scripture, things of that nature. And also, I've got a couple questions I asked to see if I think there's confidence to be had in that marriage, if it's just something out of lust or it's just if it's something real. And so that's between me and God. I'm not going to get into all that. I don't charge for weddings. I don't charge for funerals. I say, if you feel led to give something, that's up to you. And I went to a church years ago that tried to put me up for pastor. And they said, how much would it take for you to pastor us? I said, nothing. I said, you just put a plate up. And I said, whether it's, again, I gave the example. I said, whether it's $5, $500, I said, $5,000, it doesn't matter to me. I said, I'll preach to you the same. I said, that way y'all know I'm here for you and not for what I can get from you. We've run out of time, but I pray that you see the heart. We're probably going to come back next week and try to touch on this subject. Pray it could be a blessing to you. If you have anything upon your heart, our number is 601 844-7920. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll take this message, use it to your honor and glory for the good accomplished through it. Let us step aside and give you the praise, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.